Now, Mendelssohn visited a famous tourist spot in Scotland called Fingal's Cave. He wanted to celebrate the occasion by writing a short piece of music. It was increasingly becoming common to call these sorts of pieces overtures. And I can't think of why that particular term would be used, and I don't have the energy to do an etymological exploration of it. It confuses things a little bit when a word is used in a new way. This is called generalization, such as when you use the word Xerox to mean any sort of photocopier, and even photocopying, the verb. These days with the internet, people do this all the time, and they rejoice when they've succeeded in introducing a new usage of a word into the common parlance. I'm talking softly because this is early morning and people in our house are still asleep. So here's Fingal's Cave Overture by Felix Mendelssohn. So now we know that by the time Mendelssohn, Schubert and people of that generation were composing, the word overture had come to mean the musical equivalent of a short story or even a journal article. Johannes Brahms had been awarded an honorary degree from Breslau. Brahms wrote an overture to be performed during the ceremony, and it was a jolly thing with lots of undergraduate songs from Germany and Austria, including a Latin song called Gaudiamus Igitur, which translates like this: Let us drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let us delight in the pretty girls, and let us praise our alma mater, a font of wisdom. I mean, there are lots of verses, but this is the short version. I'm going to fade right into the rowdy ending part. Gaudiamus Igitur is the last big tune in the brass. Oh, this is Johannes Brahms's Academic Festival Overture. We've already heard Wagner's Meistersinger Overture twice. Some people call it a potpourri overture. You probably know what potpourri is, a mixture of dried flowers and sweet spices and herbs that you cook in a pot when your house is full of cooking odors and you want to kind of make it smell nicer. A potpourri overture is just a mix of songs from a Broadway musical or movie, and the phrase is intended to be a sort of put-down. The Meistersinger's overture certainly contains snippets of a lot of tunes from the opera, but it's super highly structured, and we know that the last several bars is an amazing combination of three of the themes played simultaneously combined with counterpoint. So here is a shortened version of the whole thing, just because I love this piece. The first theme is just the Meistersinger's theme. Yeah, here it is. This little bit is kind of a bridge theme, and it's actually a tune that's used in the opera, but I can't remember what it is. It's not a very important melody. Anyway, it leads right into the famous rules and regulations theme. Now you have to try and remember this thing played at twice the speed where at the end of the opera, where it becomes merged in with the other two themes. Right after the rules and regulations theme, we have a theme that stands for the fellowship of the master singers and their camaraderie and their friendship with one another. And this is an important theme in the opera, and here it is. Here Wagner is using a sequence of modulations to move us into a distant key, where he's going to play for us the prize song, which is the love theme of the opera. At this point, Wagner wants to prepare us for this whole trick of playing tunes at high speed and double time. So here is the master singer's theme played very, very fast, and makes it easier for us to hear the rules and regulations theme when it's played in this style. today is a potpourri overture that is probably well known to people who were growing up in the 60s. Let's see whether you can recognize what this overture is. Fair lady.